겨털 대랑이 말이에 오랑이 누이에 투이 호네 오파부투 누크에 타카토네 오테타여에 아피네 이아 타토 티헤 마우리 오라. This is the Green Desk on 95BFM.
It is this week on the Green Desk. Mitch spoke to Forest and Bird CEO Kevin Haig about the release of the 2019 Environment Aotearoa Report. Although the report and reality of the state of Aotearoa's environment is grim, it should not be forgotten that these patterns have existed for years, if not decades. It is time for meaningful action to occur following such reports, and it is up to us to ensure that we hold our leaders to account so that it does happen. Mitchell begins by asking Kevin about the general findings of the report.
Well, so the report is a big report.
Yep.
So it basically synthesizes the last 3 years of reporting by the Ministry for the Environment on different aspects of the environment and pulls them all together into one single thing. So as such, it looks at ecosystems and biodiversity, how we use land, pollution from our activities, how we use fresh water and sort of marine resources, and changing climate. So those are the big five themes. And across those themes, essentially, well, you know, the Secretary for the Environment, Vicky Robertson, at the launch this morning described it as a very grim reading, and it is. And we knew it would be. You know, we've been following, of course, all of the data that's been coming out on all of these things over the past 3 years. And so we were expecting it to be a pretty shocking read for New Zealanders who, you know, haven't had the chance to actually pay as close attention. And we know, New Zealanders quite really care about the environment. You know, they say that nature is personally very important to them. 85 or 90% of people would say that. But the problem has been that New Zealanders haven't been as aware as they needed to be of just how far off their expectations, our actual environmental performance is. You know, we're nowhere near that 100% pure, clean, green image that we like to present to the world. So across all of those issues, you know, the report is presenting a chilling, damning picture that really demands action.
Why do you think there is that sort of separation between, you know, the actual statistics of it and the education? Do you think it's sort of an ignorance is bliss thing, or is it almost intentional?
Yeah, I mean, we know some of it. So we know that one of the things that happens is so many of us now live in cities where we don't really have that day-to-day contact with the environment, with the urban environment, of course. But, you know, we're not in the forests, or we're certainly not under the waves, or experiencing sort of freshwater streams out in the country. So most people kind of get their environmental news from what they see on the TVNZ 6 o'clock news, and literally, and very often that is just what they call the cuddly animal story. You know, that comes up after the weather and before the next program, and it's, you know, a feel good story about something, you know, a rare bird being released into a new habitat, or record breeding year or something like that.
Yeah.
And people extrapolate from that good news and think that must be representative of what's happening.
Okay.
I suspect there is, you know, there probably is an element of I'd rather not know about the unpleasant stuff. You know, that probably is an element of it too. And I think, I think those are probably the main things that are going on. And of course, I mean, the other aspect of it is, you know, all of that stuff about, there's beautiful landscapes, you know, that forms part of the Fonterra or the Air New Zealand international marketing.
Yep.
Well, New Zealand is sort of kind of soaking in that stuff as well. And so we're not immune from the effects of that. And we'd certainly like to believe that we lived up to the reputation. So there's all of these factors that are kind of leading us to creating that gap between perception and reality.
Can you correct me if I'm wrong for this? I just heard this comment in passing. It came to my attention that the, some of the facts that Forrest and Bird had were actually a little bit more grim than what the report actually put out in some of the cases.
What we're saying is that, I think there are. So one of the things that reports as good news, for example, is that there's less bycatch in the marine sector of endangered species. The problem with that is the data on bycatch is largely self-reported by the industry. You know, there is a bit of observer coverage, particularly in the offshore fleet, but a lot of the data that we have is just based on what the industry themselves decide to report to MPI, and we know that that's not accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you think about Maui's dolphin, it's now down to, the estimate is 63 individuals. Those 63 individuals are going to be more sparsely distributed. So,
of course,
the rarer something becomes, the less likely you are to actually accidentally catch it. And so it's not necessarily good news. I mean, another thing in the marine environment, the only indicators that MFE and Department of Statistics can report are the things that are measured. So, for example, we know that we're effectively experiencing marine heat waves of, much warmer sea temperatures, but that's not something that's monitored. It's by the official statistics, so it's not captured in the report. So the reality is probably worse than the report indicates.
Okay, thank you for that. We'll keep it short because you've got to go to your interview, but obviously the report doesn't sort of make recommendations on what we should do. So what kind of meaningful change do you want to see come out of this?
I mean, the real thing that we're saying is, this is a catastrophe that's unfolding around us. We know that people actually really value the environment and want it protected, but we've had successive governments that really have failed to do that and basically have been relatively tokenistic, towards conservation and environmental issues. And as a result of that, we're now in this position. And so what has to change is that rather than seeing environmental protection as an issue of sort of managing the stakeholders, sort of like making a sort of ritual nod towards the issue to keep the tiny group of people who are concerned about it happy and then moving on to the next thing, which is what governments have tended to do. In other words, just see it through a political lens. We need government to engage with the real substance of this, and that means urgent and really substantive action. Conservation funding is less than half of 1% of government's budget. Environment is even less. It just has to be more. There has to be a much greater effort, and we've seen good progress on, in the conservation space. I think the government's done well there. They've talked a good game on freshwater and climate change. Well, we actually need to see real delivery this year. And marine, we've actually been going backwards under this government, and that's got to be reversed.
Yeah, because, to me, this is just another piece of information. I know, and it is grim, and it is quite revealing to a lot of people, but this is sort of the sort of patterns we were already seeing. I know this report, there's already been a report released in 2015, and all the attempts following that, they've just been watered down. So I just want to try and figure out how we can actually get to a level of a change, a shift, to actually get it implemented the way that it is intended to be.
I think the thing I'd say is something really fundamental has changed. And that is that, the reason previous governments were able to kind of get away with being tokenistic towards environmental protection was that when voters were asked what was the most important issue to them, very few people identified environment or conservation or climate change, because actually they'd sort of drunk the Kool-Aid of thinking that this thing that they really cared about actually was doing okay. And in 2017, that number of voters who identified the environment as the key issue to be addressed by the incoming government shot up to 17%. It was one of the top three election issues. And that hasn't happened since 1972,
okay,
which was the late Manapouri election. And It has stayed high. So it forced political parties to make more substantive undertakings around environmental protection. And we have seen some delivery on that. But what we need now is for voters to continue to tell the government, this is really important to us. We expect you to prioritise this in your program of work. And that is the, you know, that's the currency that political parties deal in. If they know that New Zealanders will not tolerate more inaction, that is what will make a difference.
Awesome. Thank you, Kevin. Just because I know you've got to skedaddle, do you want to just add anything else before we finish up?
No, I think that's the wrap.
All good. Thank you. And how can people get behind Forest and Bird and sort of advocating for this kind of stuff?
So Forest and Bird is a membership organisation. You know, they can join us. You know, we have various categories. We've got a youth network. If people don't feel comfortable joining the old traditional branches, our branches are busy doing practical work, but we also do a whole lot of advocacy work, and we would love to have more voices supporting us on it.
That was The Green Desk on 95 BFM. Te hei, Māori Ora.